Superior Court Judge Philip Pallenberg heard closing arguments on Wednesday in the case of Rosalie and Reuben Lowen versus the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources and co-defendants. The trial centered on vehicular access to a popular hooligan fishing spot on the Chilkoot River, owned for 7 years by the Lowens. The issue at heart in this case is simple. Tlingit subsistence users say they've had unfettered access to the river for centuries and want to continue their traditional way of life, which has evolved to include the use of vehicles without interference. The landowners, the Lowens, agree that traditional values and customs are important, but they just don't want trucks driving down to the river for fear of disturbing sensitive habitat. They said fishing there is fine if users walk up and down the bank instead of driving. The Lowens testified first in the trial on Monday, which took place over 3 days in Haines and Juneau.
People can walk down there, that's fine. We have no problems with pedestrian use.
There are lots of interested parties that come and use this piece of land, and it's such a key part for everybody. It's a key part for the natives who have cultural and traditional practices that center around this river. It's huge for tourists and for fishermen, and also it's our backyard. It's the only land that we own, and I have to do just the best that I know how to do.
Interveners in the case include three Native agencies. Many local Tlingit subsistence users testified on Monday and Tuesday. Sonny Williams is the president of the local chapter of the Alaska Native Brotherhood. He called the whole issue heartbreaking.
The Tlingit people have fished up there for a long time. They've always taken care of the river before anybody came here.
The case shifted from the Lowens' quest to obtain quiet title, a legal process that removes an adverse claim on a property on part of their land, to the issue of vehicle access to the river. Native users said vehicles are necessary for bringing down elders and hauling out thousands of pounds of fish. The defendants also claim there is a state right-of-way that provides open public access. Driving down in pickup trucks has become a common occurrence over the past several decades, and Native users maintain it's necessary. And while the use of vehicles might be relatively recent, Tim Ackerman said Monday that historically, big pits were dug on the banks to store and ferment the hooligan. Nowadays, most of the harvest is hauled to Klukwan. Schlepping buckets of fish up and down the riverbank would be cumbersome and potentially dangerous, Ackerman said.
We don't block access to the IGA grocery store and say you can't go in here anymore. I'm sorry.
Reuben Lowen says when he first noticed people driving down a few years ago, he simply went down and asked them to stop. Then, he said, he put up signs asking people not to drive down. But witnesses said in court they never saw those signs. They did, however, see rocks and logs, and eventually, last year, a boulder placed in the middle of the trail. Reuben said he put the boulder on what he thinks is his property. But with chains and a come-along, the fishermen moved the rock out of the way to access the river. Klukwan Sally Buratine testified that she gave the go-ahead to move the boulder. It resulted in an exchange between Buratine and Rosalie Lowen.
Their language was no good. In my face.
So what, are you referring to one of the Lowens?
Mrs. Lowen.
All right, what did she say to you?
She called me all kinds of bad names.
But Rosalie maintained in court that she worked hard to prevent the situation from escalating.
I have handled all kinds of aggressive inquiries, including those by Sally Buratine, to say pretty calmly, I don't believe what you're doing is right. And I don't think that's rude. I think that's acceptable.
One of the confusing parts about this case is just how big the state's right-of-way is. Surveys and land plats show a right-of-way of 60 feet, but some show 30 feet and others show 100. John Bennett, a longtime surveyor and right-of-way expert, was called to the stand by the co-defendants. He said after copious amounts of research, he deduced that the stretch of road is subject to a 100-foot right-of-way. If that's the case, only a tiny sliver of the Lowens land would be on the driving path to the river, but it's a sliver nonetheless. Lowen's lawyer Daniel Bruce questioned Bennett's conclusions, asking why the Department of Transportation paperwork shows a lesser 60-foot right-of-way.
All of the official plats and filings by the state, their official position was it was 60 feet, wasn't it?
That was what they were representing, you know, but sometimes they're incorrect.
In closing arguments on Wednesday, Bruce said that this case isn't about subsistence rights, but it's about the rights of private land ownership. The co-defendant's lawyer, Miller, countered that the trail used to drive down is a right-of-way, and because of historical use, a public prescriptive easement is warranted on other parts of the Lowen land. Now it's in the judge's hands. Judge Pallenberg has a maximum of 6 months to decide whether a public prescriptive easement will be allowed. He'll also decide on a court order from the interveners, the native groups, that would prohibit the Lowens from interfering in the future. With hooligan season rapidly approaching, both sides agreed on Tuesday that subsistence users can use the spot with vehicles to harvest hooligan this year. What will happen in the future remains to be seen. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.